Good morning, everyone. George Watkins here. It's Wednesday somewhere. It must be here. Well, it's always good to see you. Thank you for stopping by. And if you're new to our channel, stay around for a while and see if it's something that will bless and ignite your faith. Glory to God. Well, today we're going to talk about the faithfulness of God. You say, well, that sounds like a pretty general statement, not when it's targeted to something we need, the faithfulness of God. Now, I can know he's faithful that the sun is coming up in the morning, but if I have a targeted need in my family, in my body, my finances, I need to know. I want to be reassured that he is faithful in that area also. God dropped this thought in my heart today. Everything after its own kind. Well, we plant a flower. We expect that flower to come up. I'm not much of a gardener, and I haven't planted a lot of flowers over my lifetime, but I've watched others, and my mother did it a lot, and we had a little mini farm when I was a teenager out in the outskirts of Oregon City. So a lot of planting went on. And they would take that little seed bag with a picture on it. You remember that? And then make a little stick at the end of the row and put that seed bag on. That was the picture of the earnest. That was the earnest of the inheritance. They saw that picture, and they believed that there was a law of the universe. Of course, we know it was created by God, don't we? A law of the universe that what they planted in the ground was going to come up the same as the seed. Well, Genesis is one of our early and first scriptures that talked about and gives this declaration. God made a promise that there would be a consistency in nature, and that nature would have a rhythm, and it would be consistent in its cycles, so we could depend on it. We go to bed at night, we have, I don't know anybody that has a lot of fear that the sun's not coming up in the morning. Now, there's a lot of speculation going on about this, that, and the other, but climate change and the end of the world, and sun's going to burn out in, 100 billion years, something like that, a long time. Well, Genesis, the first chapter and the 11th verse, gives us this promise that when I put my tulip seeds in the ground, they will come up tulips. So the first chapter, the 11th and 12th verse, I can get to it over here. There we go. And God said, let the earth put forth vegetation plants yielding seed, and the fruit trees yielding fruit, each according to its kind, whose seed is in itself. Now listen to that statement for a moment. Whose seed is in itself. You carry in you the seed for your day, for your week, and for your life. You carry it within you. Now, we know we have the seed of God's righteousness. We know we have the seed of peace. We have the seed of love. All those things are put within us by God himself. He created us in his likeness, didn't he? In his image, he created us. So if we are created in his image, we have the same compassion. We have the seed of love. We have the seed of purpose and destiny and vision and creativity. did not he say to Adam, go out and reproduce, dominate, multiply, create, all those things? Did not he say in the book of Mark, where he said, go, and when you go, do these things: heal the sick, raise the dead, preach the gospel. That's the seed that has been put in our DNA as people. And when we are converted, born again, made new creatures, saved, that releases the inbred seed, the implanted seed, to do all these things that God has prophesied, and not just promised, but has declared in your life. The seed is in itself. Think about that for a bit. And God promised that that same seed would come forth. How about the scripture? He that wants friends must show himself friendly. Wow, that's a seed-bearing deal there, isn't it? If you're going to have friends, you got to show that you are friendly. You come into a crowd of people with a scowl and an angry look, you're not going to cultivate friends. You're going to cultivate suspicion. Well, one scripture us preachers like real well is, given it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I get anointed just thinking about it, all the offerings I've taken, and I've used that scripture. For with the same measure you give, it shall be measured back to you again. What is that? That seed. You've got a measure, a portion. You've got something you can give. And when you give it, now, the little woman with the little mite. Now, we don't appreciate what a mite is in our, you know, current culture. But for that little gal that was giving that offering, that was about all she had, and it's a very small part of a penny, but she gave it, and she gave what she could give. She gave out of the seed she had and was recognized in every Bible in the world since then, and God honored her in her natural life, I know, because of the purpose, or of the promise rather, and the declaration that if she gave, it would come back to her again. I really doubt that she'd starve to death. I believe her giving, Jesus mentioned it, but I believe the giving her seed produced a harvest. Now, the excuse we have of not having enough or not having the right kind of seed. There's two of my favorite stories, illustrations in the Old Testament that I preach often. I love to dig into them. Both of them widows, by the way. And God loves widows. God loves the orphan. I think it was it James that said that if you're going to be godly and righteous, two things you can do is spend time with the widows and the orphans, feed them, and make sure they're doing well. Okay. But these two stories, and both of them had to do with provision. One of them, of course, was the story where the prophet comes in and the little gal is scraping the bottom of the barrel for her last meal for her and her son. Now, here's a widow and an orphan. The prophet shows up. Oh, I get a lot of fun out of this one. The prophet shows up and asks for an offering from a widow and an orphan. What? This is the last meal. We're going to die after this meal. That's pretty dire. We're going to die after this meal. Now, I want an offering. Give me something to eat. So she makes it for him. And because of her giving out of what she had, the gift she had, we're not just talking money here. I'm talking about the thing God put in you. If you'll give it, if you'll do what you can do, God will do what he does, and that is multiply what you gave. If you give your time, if you give your love, if you give your talents, You say, well, I can't do much in the church. I don't sing. I don't preach. Well, how about being a substitute or a supportive member of a class, or be there when the children come in and greet them and give them a hug? Those type of things fill in all the things that have to happen to make the house of God, the church, function. Or in your neighborhood, take a cup of soup to a neighbor. Or if you're a man, and I'm not saying it's exclusive for men, but if you're a man, you got a lawnmower, go mow somebody's lawn. You got a nice lawnmower, use it for somebody. That's the seed you have. Well, this first woman gave what she had, and for 1 year, the meal barrel did not go bare, and the oil did not run out. That's how they made their bread, made their meals. Think about it. I've often wondered, did that woman scrape the bottom one more time? Every meal was the last meal? I don't know. I don't know if it bubbled up and boiled over. I don't think it did that. God's pretty conservative. Remember, Jesus said, go get the scraps, boys. Can you imagine those guys going out there mumbling, what does he want scraps for? He just multiplied 5,000 people's food for 5,000. He wants scraps? They came back with 12 basketfuls. And I was always suspicious. I wonder if Jesus said, well, boys, there's a basket for you. Take it home. There were 12 of them. The second lady, second gal, widow, she was desperate. I mean, they're going down the tubes quick. The bank's going to collect the house and the car's going to be repossessed. What do I have? Prophet said, what do you got in your house? Well, not much, just a little bottle of oil, just a little jug of oil. Well, he said, I want you to go out and collect all the pots and pans you can find in your neighbor's house. And they went out and collected until they felt they probably had enough, or maybe they filled the whole house. They started pouring. And when the last vessel was filled, the oil stopped flowing. Now, that's a message. You can preach that. As long as you have a container, God will fill it. If you're continuing to believe, if you're continuing to have revelation and to believe for there's more. The saddest Christians I know is that theology for them has stopped. Revelation is over. No more truth coming down the tubes. All we can do now is just study the old stuff. And whatever they said, 1,500 years ago, that's all we're going to ever know. They canonized it. They stamped it. They sealed it. They closed the book. Come on. God's still talking to people. God's still revealing himself. God's still doing some wonders in the earth, and you are part of that earth. So the seed is in you. Look at this, verse 11. The fruit tree is yielding fruit because the seed is in itself upon the earth. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, according to their own kind. And he goes on to say, and God saw that it was good, and he said that it would be there continually, forever. In the 8th chapter, he said, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, I like this one, heat and cold. Come on, you climate people. It's going to be heat sometime and cold sometime and heat sometime. Come on. Stay with me now. God will not fail us. The world is not going to evaporate. We're not going to melt or freeze. We're going to have summer and winter, and we're going to have springtime and harvest as long as there is time on the earth. Well, I wanted to remind you that the seed is in you today, so do some planting. And as you can see in my notes of this chapter we're on, or this video we're on, I actually planted some seed this year, and I expect those tulips to come up because I planted tulips. So when you give, you'll get back in kind. You want friends? Show yourself friendly. You want someone to give to you? To somebody else. You want a promotion on your job? Show up early. Pick up the paper on the floor. Look like you're really interested in the boss's investments and company. Give yourself, and he will give, or she will give back to you, promotion. Hallelujah. Well, it's a good day to be alive. Wednesday is a good day to be alive. I invite you to show up again tomorrow morning. I will. I'll be here in the morning. And the Holy Ghost will be here. The angels will be here. And all those that gather around me in the spirit while I'm speaking these simple words will be here. And in your room, they are there to celebrate your life. So work with them every day and let the Spirit of God and the angelic host take you into your destiny one more time. Amen. Well, if you haven't subscribed yet, do so. If you give me a thumbs up and a like, and share this with somebody. There's somebody you know that needs to see my pretty face every morning. Amen. And if God's nudging you to send us a gift, we receive it in Jesus' name and bless you back many times over. You can do that by PayPal in the notes below or the address. Last time I checked, the U.S. Post Office is still working. Amen. Well, until tomorrow. Stay strong. Be aware that you are a seed bed in operation. Plant something and watch it work. God bless.